Blog Talk Radio.
Hey y'all, it's
your
girl.
I'm here.
So, a lot of times, you know, people ask me, especially after having written, you know, Staying in Lane and everything, A Diary of a Hot Mess, they always ask me, like, well, how do you deal, you know, with your demons, and how do you, you know, how do you combat them? People can sit there and act like, you know, oh no, I don't know people that live like that. Shit, yes you do. You just probably don't talk to them. And that's okay. But I would like to acknowledge my hood roots whenever I can, because sometimes we can end up back there and not want to be there. I am not a peacock. I'm more of a shark. So I don't need to flaunt my feathers and, you know, fucking walk around and act like, you know, this is fit to happen and I'm fit to do this. I don't like the fit to do's. I'm more of a, I did this shit, I'm a shark, I laid in wait, I'm a night feeder, I waited, I came at y'all at an angle, and I ate your fucking face. I ate your whole life, and that's what I did. Because if I have to tell you, one of my things is, if I have to tell you I'm coming, if I do tell you I'm coming, I'm already here. Girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott. Hey, y'all, it's your girl, D. Scott.
And it is officially Cinco de Mayo. I flew all the way back home from, I was down there in Kentucky for the Kentucky Derby, as you know. And Louisville, had an excellent time there. Definite thank you to Kim for that. And then turned around and jump on a plane, get to Atlanta, stop there, have my margarita, and, you know, to prepare for tonight's show, obviously, and then, you know, get done with that, and then end up getting here. It's Taco Tuesday, so I got to go get the tacos because I don't have time to make them. And so now all is right and well with the world. So tonight's show is called Tell the Truth Tuesday, The Riot, Jamie Theriault. It's about, he's a jockey, he's an American jockey, and last night we spoke to his wife, Dawn, on the show, and tonight he will be weighing in about life as a jockey, because we heard it from her side. And a lot of people don't realize how difficult it is to be a jockey. And he's actually one of the taller jockeys. He stands at 5'8", I believe 118, something like that, pounds. So, I mean, it's a difficult sport, and it's actually a sport. It's no different, and I don't know why it doesn't get as much airplay as, say, what we do with the NFL or what we do, you know, in the NBA. And it technically is kind of a contact sport. I mean, you get thrown from one of those big-ass horses, it's a wrap, you know. So he's going to be calling in and weighing in and trying to, you know, school us a little bit on, you know, some of the lingo. So next year I don't go to the track looking goddamn crazy and sounding crazy. I mean, I did fine. Y'all know I'm okay with the outfit. I had my Kate Spade, my Betsy Johnson. You know, I had my hat from Miss Purdy. She custom made my hat for me to go down to the Derby. So we basically, you know, I had that part down pat. But in the spirit of the fact that it is Taco Tuesday and Cinco de Mayo, we're going to go ahead and play y'all some mariachi band music, because I need to get myself together, but I love it. I like it.
Violines y guitarras en las fiestas madrugadas en un dulce despertar. Alma virgen del mariachi.
That was my little situationship right now. And of course I'm eating a burrito too because, you know, it's Taco Tuesday, Tell the Truth Tuesday, and burritos. But so we have Jamie coming on the show tonight, and he actually is from New Orleans. He actually is from Louisiana. So he basically is going to come on the show and tell us what that's like, because a lot of the jockeys are actually Mexican, you know, they're from Spanish-speaking countries, and so to see him, and he's, you know, what they call Cajun, you know, I just want to see if that's maybe any different for him, you know, being a jockey, being, you know, not being Mexican or not being able to speak the language, if in fact he does or doesn't speak the language. So, and then later on, I will probably be partaking in some turnip with some tequila. As of right now, I'm just drinking a nice red wine. For Tell the Truth Tuesday. One of the things I talked about today is I said, you know, everyone thinks they're 100 until 100 walks in the fucking room. And the reason that I say that is because, you know, I feel like, you know, you could think you're the shit. I never wanted to be a big fish in a little pond. I always wanted to be a big fish in a big-ass pond, in a big-ass ocean with other big motherfucking fish. And we just ride around in the ocean, and we respect each other's gangster. That's what I've always wanted to do. I've never, if that were the case, then I would never leave town. I would never go out of town. So to go to places and events like the Kentucky Derby, Essence Festival, Toronto International Film Festival, Fashion Week, and still be shutting shit down in my own way and being acknowledged and being recognized and being able to network and being able to, you know, get shit done, it makes me feel good because I know that I'm not just a lab-ass broad. I'm not a local-ass bitch. I'm not somebody, you know, that's just only relevant in my own city, in my own area code. Same thing when I go to Toronto. I don't go over there to play no games. I go over there to eat my brunch, to do my shopping, to go to the games, and to politic and to meet people. And, in fact, actually at the Derby, you know, we're sitting three rows back in a box from the track. If you watch the Derby, you can't miss the steampunk hat, which actually I need to go through and look at all that footage and actually look at all of the videos and the film from that, because I haven't even gone through and completely looked at it. But I feel like, you know, you think that you're doing something until you meet a girl. I meet this one girl, her name's Sarah, cutest thing ever. And when you think of Derby, you think of her. I mean, she's a little teeny tiny thing. She's Southern, born and raised in Louisville. She ends up marrying this Asian guy, you know, and he's nice looking, and she, you know, outfitted him in their Hermes tie, and they have three beautiful little boys, and she's this teeny tiny thing. She's like, I got my rock studs on, which are the Valentino, you know, pointy-toed shoes that everyone is knocking off, but hers were real, you know, and she has on this little dress, and you know, there's just, we had a little conversation while we were standing there getting drinks. And it's so funny because I said, you know, you don't want to follow me on Instagram. I'm a little bit a lot. And she's like, that's okay. She's like, I don't care. She's like, you know, I need something to keep me going. You know, she got the boys all day. She's a stay-at-home mom. Then she tells me, we were sitting there talking, and I was like, you know, I just came back from Houston eating a bunch of goddamn tacos. And I was like, but obviously, you know, I need to stop doing that and get myself together. And she's like, yeah, girl, we all have to adapt. And, you know, that's something that I think a lot of women don't understand is that when you are, you know, trying to marry someone or you're trying to be with someone or you're, you know what I mean? You have to adapt. You have to adapt in all areas of life. You think I just went to work and just knew every goddamn thing? No, I had to adapt. I had to respect the people that have been in that situation longer. I had to respect the people that have been in the business damn near longer than I've been alive. You know what I mean? And then you learn from those people. So everybody at some point has to adapt. You know, I just came off of a situation where, you know, I get aggy sometimes. I get aggravated sometimes, and I, you know, try to cut people off. But usually if I cut a motherfucker off, it's because they deserved it. You know what I mean? But sometimes people just serve of no purpose in your life, and you really do. You have to get rid of them. And so I was looking, and it's just always so funny for me to watch the snakes come out of the grass, you know, whether you mow the lawn or not, they're going to come out. And just people are just shitty sometimes, you know what I mean? And people that you have known 10, 20, 30 years that would just do some stuff with just no regard, you know? So you got to understand that on Tell the Truth Tuesday, this is something else you need to understand. Not everybody plays by the same goddamn rule book that you do. You know what I mean? So although I wouldn't do certain things within a relationship or within a friendship, there are some people that are very comfortable doing that shit. Like, you know, trying to hook you up with somebody and then 5 years later trying to hook their other homegirl up with the same dude. It don't work that way. If any dude that I ever wanted to talk to even ever looked at one of my girlfriends, nope, you made your choice, because that means that I'm going to be thinking in the back of my head, well, maybe, you know what I'm saying? So whether you chose wrong or right, it doesn't matter. If you even looked at my girlfriend and even asked me what color her nail polish was, I'm not talking to you. And some people are like, that's petty. That's ridiculous. No, it's really fucking not, because that means that that was your first interest. That was your initial response. And there's just some people out there that just do shit like that. And I think that they forget the streets is always watching. You know what I mean? So I might not comment, I might not say anything, but motherfucker, I seen it. You know what I mean? So it doesn't mean that you're, you know, again, you're just a shitty person. You're just a bad person, you know. And then we sit there and we covet these friendships that are not really friendships, you know, I think. You know what I mean? And we stay in these friendships and situationships too long, and it just, it takes a toll on you. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, and now that I'm looking, I think this one, this is a mess. But I just feel like people need to stay in their lane. Yeah, people need to stay in their lane, and if something's meant for me, then I'll have it. If it's not meant for me, then I won't have it. If I want it, I'm going to go get it. It doesn't matter if it's locked behind 10 inches of, you know, plexiglass. If I want something, I'm going to go get it, and I will have it. So that was the other part of Tell the Truth Tuesday. And also, this trip, every time I take a trip now this year, I've been trying to reflect on a lot of things. I've been trying to, you know, try to figure out what the message is and everything that's going on. Not necessarily the lesson, because everybody says that there's always a lesson. There's not always a lesson. There's always a message, but there's not always a lesson in every single goddamn thing that happens to you. You know what I mean? Like, if I get hit with a shopping cart in goddamn the grocery store, there wasn't a fucking lesson in that. What was the lesson in getting hit in my ankle with a shopping cart? There was no lesson in that other than the shit hurts. You know what I mean? There was no, what did I learn from getting hit with the shopping cart? There was no lesson. The message may have been, you know, perhaps you should pay attention to young children when they're running through the store driving shopping carts. That might have been the message, but there is no lesson, because a lesson is something that you should continuously be learning and be trying to grow from. I'm not going to grow from getting hit in my goddamn ankles in a grocery store with a kid with a cart. So I think that people get that confused, and we have to be careful of our verbiage, because a lot of times we say things and we put these things into the universe, and when you really think about what you're saying, it doesn't make sense. You know, I'm 100, I'm 100, I'm 100. Well, if you're 100, that means you don't have anywhere to grow. You can't be more than 100. You know, you're going to be 200, and then what? Then who, you know, who's in your circle, who's in your realm then? So now, we have, you know, these issues where, you know, one of the things I've been trying to deal with while I'm out and about is solitude and being completely just alone in my thoughts and thinking about what needs to happen, when it needs to happen, and what's my next move, because I'm always very quiet when that happens. So I'm just very, you know, I'm just very thankful that I was able to go down there and spend that time with my girlfriend and get things situated with her and see how she was doing, because sometimes, like, we don't know that people are suffering silently, or sometimes we don't know how happy people are because it's not something that they put on the internet all the time. My life is an open book, you know what I mean? So, but if I'm sad or if I'm going through something, you know, I'm probably not going to put that on there. If it's something that I feel is personal, then absolutely I will, you know. Like, I find it quite funny that, you know, the guy that's, you know, doing a lot of the promotions in Detroit, he actually wore one of my Dry Fit Zero Fucks shirts. Now, in him doing that, it pissed off some people that I know would like to see me fail in Detroit. And that's okay, because I don't give a fuck what you think. You know what I mean? And I didn't fail. You failed, but I didn't. You know what I mean? So then that piggybacked. And then we had LaGanja Estranja, which is a she was on RuPaul's Drag Race season 6. She got her jersey fresh off the UK and Australia tour, and she absolutely loved it, was rocking it all over, the internet, this, that, and the third, retweeted, hashtagged, everything, loves it, is ready for more. So now, you know, when I come back from a situation like that where I'm in my girlfriend's 7,000-square-foot house that was formerly owned by, you know, some Kentucky, you know, Louisville coach, you know what I mean? It puts in perspective, you know, I think I might need a goddamn sauna in my house. I really think I do. So right now we are going to go to our caller. Caller, are you there?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, is this who I think it is, the Riot?
Yes, it is.
Well, Jamie, why don't you introduce yourself to the audience, let them know who you are, well, where you're from, what you do.
I'm Jamie Cario. I'm a jockey here at Churchill Downs. I'm from Brobridge, Louisiana.
Okay. And how long have you been racing?
19 years.
Okay. And if people want to get a hold of you, they want to follow you, do you have Twitter, Facebook, any of that stuff that you want to put out there?
I have a Facebook.
He says, I have a Facebook. Okay. Now, do you have hashtags that people can go under and find you?
No, ma'am. It's just under Jamie Terrio, and that's it.
Yeah, see, we're going to get you started on all that. I'm like, I'll get you some hashtags. We'll get you started. So...
Yeah, you get it started, you can follow it.
Oh, I'm going to get it started. Look, I'm going to get it started because, listen, I don't know if your wife showed you the promo that we did today. The show is actually called Tell the Truth Tuesday, The Riot, Jamie Thério. So I said tonight's show will be all about jockey Jamie Thério. And all my shows, just so you know, you guys can go on www.stayinyourlane123.com, and all my shows are archived, so anytime you want to use this, you know, for anything, or if you want to listen to it, they're all archived there forever. You can go, even after the show, you can go and click on the link and it'll let you listen from your cell phone, from your, you know, your computer, your house computer, any of that stuff. All press is good press, I think, don't you think?
Right. Great.
Now, let me ask you this. So explain to the people, because Dawn was, you know, hipping us to some things yesterday. So it almost sounds like you train as hard, if not harder, than a lot of the swimmers, you know, a lot of football players, a lot. It's a really a rigorous sport, yes?
Yes, it is. I go out every morning at 5 in the morning and breeze anywhere from 2 to 8 horses in the morning, and that means when I go out in the morning, I am actually preparing them to run for next week or the week after.
Okay.
So that goes on 7 days a week.
Mm. Now, you're out there from 5 in the morning till what time?
Well, 5 to 10 in the mornings, then I come back home for a couple hours, and then I'll go to the racetrack back at Churchill around 12 o'clock, and go get prepared to ride on the card that day, either sit in a hot box, get a massage, and get ready to race.
Now, do you race? Now, this is what a lot of people don't know. So the Kentucky Derby is just the biggest race, but there's like a million little races that go on before that for you to even qualify, correct?
Yes. There is. For a horse to get in the Kentucky Derby, there is a number of different races that in different states. Certain races that a horse, if you win, run second, or run third, you get so many points. And
okay.
You have to have so many points to enter the Derby. It used to go by earnings, but the last 2 years they changed it by points.
Now, do you think that's better or worse?
Well, I think it all balances out the same. I mean, if you go by...
That's what I'm thinking,
back,
yeah.
The earnings, you better horses get in the Derby. The ones that, unfortunately, they ran good races, big races, and... they deserve to be there. The points is the same way. You better horses run 1, 2, 3, and it's last year and this year going by point system. The two favorites won the Derby.
Wow.
2 years in a row. Where before, every now and then you get a long shot, a 6-1 or 5-1 when it went by money earns. But I think it all balances out the same, looking at it.
Okay. So you have to be a pretty stupendous rider just to even get in the Kentucky Derby, because I don't think that a lot of people recognize. That was my first Derby, by the way. So, I definitely appreciate y'all for showing me the ins and outs of it. So, and that's why I was so interested in, it's funny because I could have, because I know y'all didn't know, what I did when I was there. But I said, no. I said, I would rather wait and interview like someone personally than just to be sitting in here doing, little interviews with people that I don't, people I don't know or that I'm not interested in because I don't know anything. So,
right.
You guys were real personable and, down to earth and everything. And also too, let the people know, I said, you are actually one of the taller jockeys standing at 5'8", 118, correct?
Yes, ma'am. I was the tallest in 2000 and, 6 maybe at that time, 2006, 2007, I was the tallest, but I think now there's one other guy, I think he rides in somewhere in Virginia, I think he's like 5'10". So,
now, do you think that's pretty tall. Now, do you think that, because I know that, you can't have a certain weight on top of the horse, but do you really think that the smaller jockeys have the better advantage over maybe, say, you, someone that's a little bit taller?
They got the advantage, they don't have to fight their weight. They're naturally small. I got to go sit in the hot box and pull weight to make weight. But like everybody says, they always made the comment. I said, man, I wish I was a little shorter, blah, blah. And a bunch of people were like, no, you don't wish that. You're good like you are. It's just you're stronger than them. You got more leverage than them.
I was just getting ready to say, I would think that you would be a little bit more stronger and able to handle the horse better than someone that's, my son is bigger than 90% of the jockeys that I see. My son is 5'1 and weighs 140 pounds. But his dad was 6'5", so we know that we had a larger child, so there's just certain things that you're not going to be able to get your children. Like my son couldn't be a jockey. He's just a thick boy. Now, was that something that was ingrained in you as you were coming up to be a jockey, or was it just something that in Louisiana you just kind of took interest in?
I think it was in the family. My dad was a trainer.
My
uncle, I have two uncles that rode, that were jockeys here in Calvin Burrell still rides. I'm related to Calvin. My uncle retired four years ago, Larry Malone, so he rode here for 30 years. So,
what?
I think it was all in the family. So it's something I wanted to do as long as I can remember.
Now, you know your little one, Mason, he's a teeny tiny thing, and they said he's already showing interest, and he was just screaming for you during the race. Daddy, daddy, do you think that that's something he's going to be interested in, being that there's so many kids that I'm seeing being brought up, brought to the tracks and brought to the Derby? I thought that was really interesting because a lot of times, like in other sports, you don't see the kids going to, you know, the football games in the middle of the winter. You don't always see the kids at the basketball games, even at the baseball games because it's too much. But in with the Derby, you saw, like, entire families that were out there with their kids cheering on their dad, you know what I mean, cheering on their family member. Do you think that your son is going to want to go into that, obviously, because he sees you in it?
I think so. My oldest one is 14 years old, and he is very, very good in sports. Very
really?
Good. And he doesn't want to do it. He wants to be a jockey, and I'm like, son, you sure that's what you, he's like, yes. So and he's been riding there. He's 14 and he's been riding since he's been 7, and
wow,
that's what he wants to do. And so he's, I'm gonna, you know, up to him. But
I think teach him, you know,
right? And I think Mason will follow. So
I think Mason would be good because he's so tiny, you know, so he's
right.
Already, you know what I mean? Now, is your older boy, the one that wants to ride, is he small as well?
Yeah, he weighs about 74 pounds, 14
years old.
Oh, my
goodness. Oh, yeah,
so,
he's perfect then.
Yes, he is.
Is he,
but right
is
now,
he tall?
But I was, well,
worried about puberty.
He's, I was like that at his age, and then all of a sudden when I... 18, I grew a lot, and I think that's what's going to happen with him. He's going to be
probably,
you know, where he needs to be, and I think once he becomes 17, late 17, 18, he's really going to grow. But I told him, you just have to see at that point what's next to come.
But I think it's good. I think it's good because you've already been through it. Like, we're going through that with my son now because his father played a sport. He played baseball. So my son is big, you know, like his father who, you know, played the sport. But my son, he's looking at my son, and he's looking at him from the eyes of a coach, saying because our son is double jointed in his arms, he would probably make a better pitcher than he would a catcher because of the fact that he has a chance of less injury. You know what I mean? Because that's like a gift, you know, that you would
right.
have a double jointed somebody. You know what I mean? So I just think that, you know, and the same thing, my son is very smart. He's only 11, but he could be a scientist. But a lot of people don't understand that when it comes to greatness, you really, it doesn't start when they're in high school. It's already started from mimicking other players that either they watched on television or their parents. So just like, you know, bad behaviors are mimicked by children, so are the good ones. So I think it's the same thing with my son. He could go be, my son has already written a book that's, you know, that's on Amazon, and he wants to, you know, be like his dad. So I think that that's a really, really great thing. And you know who else I was talking about? I was talking to Don last night about Martine, the one with the red and white, the little fresh one. I was like, I think he's my favorite because he was absolutely hilarious. Now, what is the name of his horse?
He rode the horse that was third. He rode...
oh, he did?
Oh, yeah, he was third in the Derby.
See, that just goes to show you how much I don't pay attention. Now, I knew that Victor had did well. We were like, you know, we went to the Derby, we watched it, but then it was really interesting because we all waited, and then we all were like more cheering for you than, you know what I'm saying, like the other races because it was somebody that we knew as opposed to like, oh, well, that's cool. Oh, that's the one that we saw upstairs with the, you know, the yellow on or the green on, you know. So
right.
I had, you know, took pictures with all of them, not realizing, you know what I mean, anything about it. So now I got to go look up Martin Garcia and see what horse he rode, because he's actually pretty good from what I understand. The research that I did on him, he's actually pretty good. He actually won the Breeders' Cup last year.
Yeah, he does very well in California.
Yes,
you know, he just started riding, I would say, no more than 5 years ago. He was flipping hamburgers.
No,
yes.
You lie.
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
What?
Yes.
And what happened? Somebody just said, you're little,
somebody,
you want to jump on. Is he?
Yep. And they gave
and
him
how
a shot
old is he? He's in his 30s, no?
Yeah, I think so.
What?
Late 20s, early 30s.
Now, let me ask you this. What is, like, the average expectancy? Like, we know with the NFL, the average expectancy is, like, 6 years, 7 years. We know that in basketball, some players can play, you know, 20 years. Kobe Bryant's been playing, you know, 18 or something like that. What is the average age? You said that your uncle just retired. What is, like, the average age or the average, you know, frame where you guys retire and just say you're not going to do it no more?
My uncle ruled for 43 years.
What? And was still getting, like, signed for races?
The jockey that won the Kentucky Oaks this year, he's from Louisiana. He's been riding for 42 years.
Oh, my God.
56 years old.
Okay, so there is longevity in the sport then.
Yeah. I mean, it all depends on how many, you know, bad, you know, breaks you had or how long your body lets you do it for.
Now, let me ask you this, and without putting that in the universe, have you ever had anything that was, like, life-threatening where you got thrown? Or typically when a horse throws you, what's that about? Is it because, you know, they're uncomfortable, or is it something with the horse, or is it something you did? Or because you're talking, you know, I noticed that they're saying that, you know, they want more funding for jockeys for, like, insurance and things like that because you guys don't really have a retirement plan, correct? Like, they don't, you know what I mean,
right,
like, set anything up for you through your organization. You have to do it on your own.
Right. I've broke just about every bone in my body.
No way.
At least one. Yes.
Just being thrown?
And it's because being in the races, the horse breaks a leg in front of me and falls, and four or five of us go down like a train reaction.
Oh, my
or
God.
Vice versa, one of mine breaks a leg and fall, and people run over me or get hurt in the gate. It's just different, multiple different things.
How do you get hurt in the gate, like right before they say go?
Right, horse just flips over in the gate, just
they'll flip over in the gate?
Yes, they do.
They just be like, nah, I'm not running today?
Well, some of them just, you know, they get claustrophobic.
Nervous.
They kind of get, you know, nervous, want to get out of there. They're just different reasons.
So they're like their own, like, little human being type situation. Now, what's your favorite horse to ride that you and that horse are in sync?
Well, I had a bunch of favorite ones. You know, they all retired. They don't run no more. There was just numerous good horses I've rode. I rode a lot of really, really good horses in my 19 years of riding. Yes. I mean, I've rode a horse that won the Kentucky Derby here in 2002. I was riding him in Louisiana and won a bunch of races on him. And they sold him privately for $1 million. And he went on to win the Kentucky Derby.
So now, is there a lot of shade that goes on with that as well? Because it sounds like you guys are, like, almost at the bottom, because first it goes to the owner, then it goes to the trainer, and then from the trainer, then you're just kind of, you know what I mean, the person that rides the horse. So you don't have any control over if somebody trades a horse, because they trade him no different than they would trade someone to a team, right?
Right, right. It's, if you sell them, if a new owner buys them, you know, they might have their favorite jockey or you know what I'm saying? Or
and it might come as a package deal, or they might say, no, I want to buy that horse for my rider.
Right, right. So, I mean, sometimes you get to continue riding them, and sometimes you don't when, you know, people buy horses.
That's kind of shady, though, you know?
Yeah, that's just how it is.
Now, do you work close with the trainer, you know, so that you guys are in sync, like, you know, with the horse or what's going on with it if the horse gets sick? Like, do you have to come in contact with the trainer a lot? Are they out there every day with you?
Oh, yeah. They're out there. Trainers are out there pretty much every morning training their horses. And so that's what things we do in the morning. We go and visit with them and talk and try to keep a good relationship with them.
With the trainers or with the horses?
Yes, with the trainers.
Okay.
Trainers.
So then when it comes time, you like, you know. So now what's the next race you're getting ready to race?
Thursday night we run Churchill Downs.
Again. Okay.
Yes. We start 5 o'clock post, and then Friday it's 1:15, Saturday 1:15, and Sunday 1:15.
So you're riding all those days?
Yes. It's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
And
so now what do y'all do in the off season?
There's no off season.
So for you there's no off season, because I thought, okay, so then when you guys leave there, you guys go over to New Orleans, and then you continue to race there.
Yes. There is,
wow.
in the horse racing business, there's no off season. If you want to have a vacation, you better take it on your own time.
Really?
There's always racing somewhere. Always somewhere. There is no off season.
Really?
No. No.
So you're in shape all year round. And that's what I wanted to get out of you, was that, you know, people think that, because when I went there, I didn't realize how rigorous. And you could tell that when you look at you guys, you're all very tight. You're all very lift. You're all very, you know, in shape, you know, and just and ready to go. And it takes a lot. It's no different than if you were a gymnast. You know, these female gymnasts, they can't, you know, a ballerina. It's no different than basketball, baseball. So I was like, I don't know why we're not bringing more light to the sport. Everybody wants to go to the race, the one race, but they don't know that this is something that goes on all year round. So that's what I'm saying. My grandfather, they were from the West Coast, so out New Mexico way, so they would raise and, you know, breed horses out that way. So that's why the Derby was important to me, because we grew up, you know, with my mother talking about, you know, all these things when she was little and all these horses. So I kind of came there to commemorate them and just kind of like fell in love with the whole atmosphere and obviously your wife and just everything that was going on and the tradition. You got to love your wife. I mean, we were calling her Mrs. Make Shit Happen. You know, she just was breezing through there. And I think that's... You know, and I said to her, I said, you know, I didn't see, you know, of all the jockeys, I didn't see a lot of the wives in the room with us. And I think that that's important, because I think that a lot of women, they don't realize, like, yeah, you guys are men, but you guys still need that support. You guys still, you know, want to feel like, so, yeah, they may have been sitting down in the boxes. But I just personally, I don't think that it would have hurt to come up and be like, hey, babe, good luck, you know what I mean, and leave. So that's what I do definitely like about your wife. I was the same way, you know, when I was married. I would never let, you know, my ex-husband go out, you know, on a game and not have something to eat, not, you know what I'm saying, see the child,
right,
not, you know, our baby,
right,
not, you know what I mean, because
right.
I think those are the things that make it very real for y'all to be able to go out there to do a good or a better job, you know, at what you're doing when you know that there's stuff riding on it. So I really love that about her, so I, you know, kind of clung to that. But we are coming to a close. Like I said, you guys can go on www.stayinyourlane123.com. All my Instagram, everything's on there. But if you click on tonight's show, you can hear yourself within the next like 5 minutes. It should be archived. Definitely we'll probably get in touch with you, because I always like to do follow-up interviews like a couple months later. And now, because of y'all, we'll definitely be coming to the Derby. We're going to make it part of the trip that I do every year, because every year I actually go to New Orleans to go to Essence Fest. Every year I go to Fashion Week. Every year I go to Toronto Film Festival up here, you know, in Toronto, because I actually am back in New York now. So I actually left Louisville this morning, and we were supposed to try to come by there yesterday, but we had sat down to eat, and I was like, we don't have time to get to y'all house and then,
right,
you know, set up for the show, because it would have been, you know, a hot mess. But I definitely appreciate you. I thank you so much for coming on the show and shedding light on a sport that I think I'm going to start doing some more research in, especially if y'all hook me up with Martin, you know, that's my buddy. He told me, I was like, what is this? He was like, that's my chest.
It's a very good sport. It really is, you know, and it don't get the publicity like basketball and football. And
I don't
should.
Know why. And it really
it should. Because I mean, there's billions of dollars in the industry throughout the whole country of horse racing. And
jockeys
don't get the recognition at all. I mean, you know, I've been fortunate, you know, 19 years, you know,
absolutely.
And I've made $70 million in career earnings so far. I mean, but there's a lot of them that are behind me that are, or were in front of me that were, you know, maybe a notch below me and didn't get the recognition that, you know, struggled through their whole career and, you know, didn't accomplish nothing, you know.
Right.
It's a hard game. It's a hard game. It really is. I mean, it's hard to get sponsors. They don't, you know.
Really?
We can't get sponsors. I mean, the tracks don't allow us to ride with sponsors because they want their cut. They're like,
oh,
well, they don't.
Yeah, because they own, because doesn't Churchill Downs own like three of the tracks? Yeah.
Well, it's every racetrack. Now, in California, you can ride with some sponsors. They're not too, you know, too
tough.
But
you know what you
got
to do, Jamie? You got to have them start getting you some endorsements doing other stuff. That's what you do. You have your little agent talk to, you know, other people about sponsoring you outside of there that has nothing to do with, you know, that has nothing to do with just the racing. You know what I mean? You're
right.
A jockey. I mean,
well,
that's a big deal.
Just an example. Say Nike wanted me to ride with Nike on the side of my pants. I couldn't do it. And, you know, Nike would want that because, the big races I ride in.
Oh, the exposure.
They wanted,
you know, kidding
people
me?
Would see
absolutely.
That. But the racetrack, or, you know, it's a lot to do with the owners. Say an owner that I'm riding for, he might not like Nikes. He might like Adidas. He might wear Nikes.
Right.
So, you know what? It's a big issue because, well,
gamble.
I don't want Jamie riding with Nike on his pants because I'm a Adidas fan. So that's, you know, that's what the whole deal is. But in California, it's a whole lot easier. A lot of those riders do ride with sponsors and you know, they do well. Just like for the Derby, a couple riders rode with Dodge. Dodge used to sponsor all 20 riders
that's
for the Derby
right.
till
yeah.
this year. So this year, they would give the riders $15,000 or $20,000 to, you know, to ride with Dodge on their pants. Well, only two of them rode with Dodge this year because they didn't wanna sponsor the whole field.
Right.
Yeah, only two of them rode with Dodge. And you know, now I was reading today, and it's just, you know, the jockey that won the race, Victor, he didn't have Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he'd have won the race and had Dodge on the side of his pants, you know, everybody in the country would have saw that, you know, and that's what those people
right.
want. The people want their deal to be out there. And, you know, it just so happened he didn't have Dodge on his side of his pants. He had his own sponsor. He had his own sponsor from California. But they didn't, but Victor told me that they didn't ask him to ride with Dodge. He wasn't the one that he wasn't next.
He wasn't favored, correct?
And he was the favorite. He rode the favorite in the Kentucky
Derby.
No,
I know he did. That's why as soon as I said, I don't know the jockey's name, I said, but what horse does he ride? They were like, that was the American Pharoah rider. I said, he's the one that's favored to win.
Right, and he didn't even have Dodge on the side of his pants.
Because it's it was a separate thing, you know what I mean? Like when you came in, you see the big Dodge Ram truck. So they were obviously advertising for that. They obviously,
well,
you know, showed that
just,
on the Derby. But
it
would have been nice. They would have
right.
had him on the pants.
I didn't think it was fair to the, you know. I mean, I didn't ride the Derby this year, so it didn't really bother me. But I didn't think it was fair to all the riders that did ride it. Why just take two out of 20 to ride with Dodge. You know what I'm saying? It's like a kind of slap in the face to the other 18 riders.
You didn't ride in the Derby. The people don't understand. The Kentucky Derby is not the entire day. It's just that one particular race. But you did ride in
right.
the race that followed the Kentucky Derby. I don't want people to be like, wait a minute, I thought he rode it. No. You rode in the race after the Derby.
Right.
The Derby itself was
right.
the race that started at 6:24 p.m., just
correct.
So I can clarify.
Correct.
Because remember, we got to, you know, explain to people that don't know, because I didn't know anything about nothing. I don't know. What's the nickname for first, second, and third place? What do you call it?
Was that
something
win,
show,
place, and
something?
Show? Win,
yeah,
win,
place,
show.
And show. And why is
win,
it called
place,
that?
Well, if you win the race, you win. Second, they call this place. And third is to show. That way, if you bet a horse, if you bet the one horse and he wins the race, you collect the first place, second place, and third place what he paid to run first, second, and third.
Wow.
Now, if he'd have run second, you'd have collected for show and place, not to win.
Not win.
And,
okay.
So that's how that goes.
But
another big deal.
It definitely is a billion-dollar industry. I'm like, those horses alone are like $1 million, aren't they?
Yes, very, very, yes, it is. It really is. I mean, and it's surprising. It surprises me. Now, I thought for sure by this time, you know, because I mean, I've been riding profession 19 years. I thought it really would have jumped out there. And at one time, it looked like it was, and then it kind of just, it got to a certain level, and it stayed there.
Well, did you know that this year was the highest in attendance ever? So that should tell you something, due to the fact that there was the fight that was in Vegas. So that really, you know, showed you that, you know what I mean? I think it is becoming mainstream, and I think that there's a misconception because I went there because of the culture. And thankfully, like I said, I grew up knowing a little bit of the, you know, the verbiage, and everybody knows that my house shut down when the Preakness, the Derby, the Triple Crown, you know, all that, when all those things were on, my mother shut it down. You know what I mean? But
right.
My mother comes from, you know, that West Coast, you know, horse breeder, that type of, you know, situation. So we understood the language. There's horses all over our house. So I knew a little something. So for the people that don't know anything at all, you understand what I'm saying? I think that they just think that the Kentucky Derby is just where you go to wear your outfit and your hat, and they forget about the race. They forget about the history of the mint julep, where that came from, why, you know, Kentucky bourbon and everything else. And then they forget about the jockey. So I definitely want to try to bring some light on that. And I was telling my partner, my editor, I said, listen, I said, you know, if we can do this, trust me, if I say I'm going to the Derby every year, 15, 20 more people want to go to the Derby every year because it looked like it was really a good time. If you go on my Instagram page, when you go on the website, you'll see it, and my Instagram is @miss.d.scott. For those listening, we had a great time, you know, and then people say, you know what, screw that. I don't want to go to this stupid concert over here, or I don't want to do this when I could just drive to Kentucky and just, you know, get in and then, you know what I mean, and hang out, and then, and people do it. I started going to a brunch up in Toronto, and sure enough, within the next 60, you know, 90 days, just because of me, but just because people kept posting about it, people post what a good time they had, they sell out this brunch. They only do this brunch once a month. So it's the same thing with the Derby. You know, now my girlfriend's saying, you know, I was like, you got to come. Now I'm saying I'm hooked. I'm like, I want to go every year. You know, it's something that I would bring my son to because I think that he would love, you know what I mean, just to see that. The only thing I regret is I didn't get to see any of the horses. I didn't get to pet no horses. I was sad about that. Not at the Derby, but just off the track, you know, outside of the Derby. I didn't get to pet no horses.
Well, next time you come, I'll take you on the backside.
Yeah, I definitely want to go on the backside. I won't ride none of them because I can't get it together. I'll be trying to be too cute. The horse will probably just lay down on the ground. They'll be like, you know what, I'm going to just lay down. She got 150 pounds on me. I'm going to just buckle my legs and lay down. But I definitely want to see them. And I'm going to hold you to it, too. I'm one of them people I follow up. So I'll be reaching out and I'll be, you know. But definitely I wanted to bring light to this. And I was telling my editor, I said, you know, this is a guy that, you know, next year he could win the Kentucky Derby. This is a guy that, you know, in 3 weeks can win another major race. So I said, you know, the next big race is what, the Preakness?
Yes, that's going to run in, not this Saturday, but next.
Okay. Now, are the same riders from the Derby, do they go to the Preakness? Or is that something else?
Of course, Victor will ride his same horse, that, you know, the winner. Martine will ride his same horse. A lot of them
Okay, so first, second, and third, they automatically go to the Preakness?
Well, if their horse is, if nothing happens to the horse, he doesn't get injured, he's, more than likely they go to the Preakness. Now, if you've seen horses that might have run 15th place in the Derby go to the Preakness.
Really?
Yes, that race is not by points. It's not by points. The Preakness. The only race that goes by points is the Kentucky Derby.
Preakness about? Just being invited, or?
Well, it's part of the Triple Crown.
You want to win all three races, right?
Right. I think they run 14 in the Preakness, right, or 13. Now, if they're going to have a full field, and say they've got 15 horses that want to run, they're going to take the ones that got the most earnings.
Okay.
You know, they're going to get in the race first. So
okay.
That's how that goes. But it's never a full field. You know, it's never, you know, they always have, you know, 9, 10, 11. It's never been over, you know, more than what needs to be, you know, run in the Preakness.
Hmm.
So,
and then those same riders are going to go on to the Triple Crown as well.
Right, you know, pretty much. You know, I'm not going to say all of them. You always have a couple new ones. You'll even have, you know, some trainers or change riders after the Derby to ride another ride in the Preakness. Maybe they didn't like their ride in the Kentucky Derby. So it's a cut and dry game. It really is. Like I tell everybody, you're as good as your last ride. That's it. That's how it is. You're as good as your last ride. I mean, nothing is never. This game is
guaranteed.
Not a for sure deal. It's not. And, you know, some people are very loyal. I mean, I ride for people that are very loyal. I mean, I ride for trainers, you know. I'm riding Jamie no matter what. And you know, I like riding for those kind of people. You know,
does it make you want to do better? You know what I mean?
Right. And, you know, something happens in a race, you know, but I'm the type of person, if I do something wrong, if I make a bad decision, I'm not going to try to blame another rider did this in the race or something, make an excuse with the horse. I'll come back
absolutely.
And I say, look, we'll get him next time. You know, I hope I can ride him back. You know, I'm honest, straightforward. And, you know, that's what they want to hear. And 9 out of 10, they don't take you off. You know, if they know you made the mistake and you came back and say, look, I messed up, I shouldn't have done this, or I made a bad decision, or, you know, they respect that. They respect it. Now, if you start trying to say blame, you know, and not taking fault of it, and they know that you know you messed up, then they're like, well, he kind of knows he did this, but, you know, he's trying to blame something. I want to change riders. You know, and that's how they do that.
Wow.
And you can't really say that when an owner's paying a trainer $100 a day or $80 a day, whatever they charge, to train their horse. And, you know, the trainer's really good friends with the jockey. And they say, well, you know, yeah, you and Jamie are very good friends, but I just don't like the way he rode my horse, or I don't like the way he's riding my horses. You know, we kind of got to make a change. You know, and the trainer got to listen to the owner, because if he says, no, I want to ride Jamie, well, okay. Well, I would just pick up my horse tomorrow and send him to another trainer, you know.
Oh,
they don't
want to
put their job on the line, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
one hand washes the other.
Right? That's it. This is how this game is. So it's not like basketball, football, where you sign a contract and, you know, I mean, those things are not set in stone neither, but you're pretty much secured with them.
No. Football, the only thing they get to keep is that bonus. They don't keep their salary. That's funny. Baseball, yes. Whatever they sign in baseball, they keep all that. But it's the same thing, really, Jamie, because if your trainer or your coach don't like you and they like another player, they're going to play that player whether you got a batting average of 30, you know, 330 or not. If they don't like you, they're not going to play you, which now means that your agent is like, okay, because they get bonuses. You know, if you do this many things or if you score this many yards, whatever, they get bonuses. So there's a lot of shady stuff that goes on. You know what I mean? You know, look at basketball. You know, look at what happened at the Super Bowl. You know, the coach made a bad call, chose to put somebody in the game, chose to do a play. The play ended badly when you should have gave it to the star player. We don't know why he didn't give it to that dude. Maybe he didn't like him because the dude was notorious for having, you know, being outspoken, Marshawn Lynch, you know, for being outspoken. We don't know why he didn't give him the ball. That would have been the obvious choice. So now that dude might lose his job, you know what I'm saying, because he made a bad call that had nothing to do with the player. The player's still going to get his money. But it's the same thing. If the owner don't like a coach, they can get rid of the coach. If the coach don't like a player, so it really is the exact same thing. You know, it trickles all the way down, and I just wish that more people, you know, were more knowledgeable about, you know, this whole situation and the jockey situation and all that other stuff. But we're getting ready to end the show. I actually extended it for you because I was liking how you were dropping the little jewels and the knowledge. But what we'll do is, like I said, you can go on there. And if you want to put your interview on Facebook, on your Facebook page, it has your name in it. It says Tell the Truth Tuesday, The Riot, Jamie Theriault. Give it 5 minutes. You'll be able to go on the show and actually share it, if I'm not mistaken, on your Facebook page. I'll try to search you on Facebook so I can tag you in it so that people can hear what you had to say. You know what I mean? I think it was a good interview if you want people to hear what you had to say, because this is a no-holds-bar show. So, you know, and like I said, we'll definitely get you guys back on the show maybe after the Preakness, or maybe get your predictions after the Triple Crown, or, you know, see what you have to say about that, because I definitely want to keep this going, because when we went out to L.A., we have a West Coast correspondent now that we deal with in L.A., because I think it's important to keep people, you know, in the mix, especially when you're not in that environment. So I have a guy that reports to me from the West Coast. We call him, or he calls us, you know, tells us what's going on there in the music industry and all that other stuff. So now we have you and your wife that tell us what's going on. And you know, there's a lot of people that don't understand what it's like to be an athlete's wife. You know what I mean? So I think that her interview was just as important, because all we see on television is everybody smiling, you know, with their hair all done, and you don't know what kind of havoc goes on in the home when you're trying to run around and feed kids, you know what I'm saying, and then train this right. one and then get this one in a diaper, and you know what I mean? People don't understand it. So I just always like to represent what's real, which is why we had you on the show tonight, which is Tell the Truth Tuesday, and the show is called The Riot, Jamie Theriault, and like I said, it was all about you. So if you want to, you know, post it and show people you're getting a little bit of, you know, recognition, and I'm sure there's people that are going to have, you know, questions for me. And then, like I said, I can always forward that to you. So good luck to you on your races all this week. I'll be reaching out to your lovely wife probably in the next couple of weeks to get what your opinions are on the Preakness, or maybe give us some more lingo so that by the time the Derby hits next year, we'll be versed. What you think about that?
Okay. That sounds good.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Jamie.
You're welcome.
And you have a good night, and happy Cinco de Mayo, even though I know you're Cajun.
You too.
I love you. Bye.
Okay. Bye.
Violines y guitarras en las quietas madrugadas, en un dulce despertar. Alma virgen del mariachi, cuando escucho tus cantares, llega.